Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Beyond the Blade, episode 122. I am your co-host, Chad Didymenesis, and joined by Anthony Chandra and Bill Shockey. And fellas, what is going on? We actually have, I think for the first time in a while, at least maybe the entire time Bill and I have done this, they're not that meaningless, but we still kind of have some sort of meaningful games here in like end of February, early March. So that's, I know the bar was low for that, but we got something to kind of hang on to here.
So, I mean, yeah, I guess, right? Credit where credit's due. We talked about a light February schedule, 7-4-1 in February. You beat Ottawa once or twice at the end of January there. You're 9-3-1 or 10-4-1. So that'd have been cool, but yeah, I mean, you're close. The only problem is, as we talked about, here comes the buzzsaw of March, and good luck. Good luck with that.
Yeah, the March schedule's nuts, but, you know, I mean, I know we're, you know, me in particular has been a little bit curmudgeonous this season, and rightfully so, justifiably so. But I got to say, last night, despite the loss, might have been one of the more, I don't want to say necessarily entertained I've been all year, but maybe edge of my seat I was, because I liked seeing, even though their chances going into the night were something like 4.8%, right? And it's undoubtedly less now, but
I thought you meant just to beat Colorado.
That's funny. But no, I liked seeing the Sabres in what was essentially for them a playoff game, you know what I mean, to try and keep alive. And it was fun. You could tell they really gave a crap, which hasn't always been the case over the last 7 to 8 to 10 years. So, you know, and at this point last year, I think everyone was just so, man, I don't even, hungover is the wrong word, but just like incensed by everything because of the 10 game streak and just that millennium fall that came afterwards. So it's been a little different this year where it's mostly just inconsistency rather than, hey, they're really bad and got lucky once for 10 games. So yeah, it's not fun because they're still not great, but it's more fun than it's been in a very, very long time. Does that make any sense, that weird ramble I just went off?
Yeah, no, it does. I mean, the unfortunate news here is, as you were talking, William Nylander actually just scored a goal to put Toronto up 4-3 with about 9 minutes left in that game. So the Sabres are looking at potentially being down 10 points when you wake up tomorrow morning. But, you know, I mean, it's – yeah, for – as down as we've been all season or most of the season, there's, I think, at least some acknowledgement warranted towards – oh, I should use my words carefully here. Being in it, I guess.
This just now, all feels so bannery within six in February.
Right. I mean, like I said, the bar is super low here, right? I mean, like, you're going to be – 10 points out by the end of February, essentially. I mean, you play Vegas tomorrow, and they've won 7 in a row, and good luck. So, I don't know. I mean, in a week and a half, they could be like 12 or 14 down. So, like, that'll be the end of that. But I don't know. I guess trying to infuse a little positivity here. Credit where it's somewhat due, I guess you could say. I tried hard. I give my best effort at that.
I mean, like you said, Anthony said, they look pretty good, at least.
Right, like
They look good in Colorado. You beat a good Pittsburgh team. You beat Toronto. That's always fun. But yeah.
You're hung tough against the Jets on back-to-back nights. One.
Yeah, it's just going to be consistency going forward, and Allmark's still what? Probably a couple weeks away.
Yeah.
A couple weeks away. So I don't know that the goaltending consistently is going to hang in there, and cold scoring, as we know, it doesn't consistently hang in there. So unfortunately, it probably won't hang on.
So the main thing we can kind of talk a little bit about here is that this kind of topic ties into it is a trade deadline. So we had that on Monday. Honestly, one of the more entertaining trade deadlines in the last few years that I can recall. Of course, it's the year like that I'm not sitting at home watching on TV. This is the one deadline I had to work. And of course, there's all these fun, crazy trades that go on and rumors. But
oh, you were doing work, Chad.
For part of it, I was, yes. but so the Sabres make two moves. One, they decide to rent Wayne Simmonds. We'll get to that in a second. And then the other move is they ship out Evan Rodriguez and Connor Sherry to the Penguins for Dominic Cahoon. So, I don't know, where do we want to start here? Do we want to tackle Simmonds? Do we want to go to Cahoon and then kind of scratch our heads about Simmonds? Where do you guys kind of want to start here? And by the way, the deadline stuff, before we get too far into it, I know we have a lot of questions on kind of like what happened, and I'll talk about that in the questions segment here, just so people know I'm not skipping over that part.
I think we start with Simmonds. It's the easier of the two. Or the faster of the two, I would think.
Right. So what would... I guess I'll get minus reaction. Minus reaction was why, okay, whatever, just don't sign them. I mean, those are the three things that went into my head pretty much.
Yeah, I mean, on the Simmonds thing, and I wrote about it this week, let's take it in context, right? It's a fifth-round pick, first and foremost. And I know Jason Botterill has had a little bit of a frivolous track record with mid-round picks. Just kind of throws them out there, you know, for league, VC, etc. But, you know, I think for the Sabres position, something that low risk of a rental and someone else brought up a good point too. I mean, it's not necessarily just about making the playoffs right now. It's about pushing until the end, right? And you talk about that culture of losing, and you know me, and I think we've talked about this a bunch of times, how much stock do you want to put into the word culture? But I think it means something for the team to be pushing to the end this year. I really do. And I'm going to tell you something else. Wayne Simmonds is not the Wayne Simmonds that, you know, you saw in 2015-16, right? That was probably his best year, and he's not that guy anymore. You know, he's 31. He's definitely, you know, deteriorating. He's a depreciating asset. There's no getting around it. However, there are still some things that he does well, and it happens to be things the Sabres need. He's very, very good in front of the net. He's got an expected goals rate of 14 right now, despite only tallying 8 goals this season. Looking at his shot chart, he does a very good job of getting into high danger areas. And, you know, there are things he lacks, right? He's never been a very good defensive forward, and that's even more so the case now. You can tell he's not as fleet of foot as he used to be. But again, for a fifth round pick, veteran presence, a guy who might score you some goals, give you some offense in the middle six, especially if his shooting percentage, which, by the way, is at 7%, the lowest of his career. If that gets to like his career mean for these last 20 games, I mean, you can get a little burst from him, right? So it's fine. It means nothing to me. I'm not going to be upset at it. It's a fifth round pick. But like Chad said, I will be a little more upset if they decide to extend him for 3 years after this season. Yeah. If he does pot, you know, 8 goals in these last 20, and they're like, well, he's great. Just a bad situation in New Jersey. Here's 4 years, 12 mil. Like, that'll irritate me. But again, for the intent and purpose of the remainder of the season, fine.
Yeah, I think it was kind of a sentiment that was said a lot, was you remember the Simmonds of the Philadelphia days, and Chad probably knows more than most that for fantasy purposes, I used to grab them all the time. I mean, yeah. Average score, power play points, hits, everything. So yeah, I mean, when you think of that one, you have fond memories of the player he used to be. Obviously, he isn't that anymore. So, I mean, it's a nice name to just have on the team, and it's exciting to watch somebody else than kind of the bottom nine we've been trotting out there for how many years now, or bottom six we've been trotting out for how many years now. So to throw another name into the mix that's somebody different for these last 20 games, I think is kind of the the exciting thing for me. But as of the moving of the needle, it'll actually do is minimal to probably none at all, unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the thing here, right? It's, I mean, I get the locker room aspect. I get the player personality aspect of it. You want a little bit more.
It was nice. He came out in the first, he came out in the first shift and destroyed somebody. So,
right. I mean, he had a nice first period, nice few shifts, and then I kind of forgot who's on the team the rest of the game. I mean, that's.
I will say the 17 on the ice scared me.
Right. Had a little, some flashbacks there, right? Yeah. Still sensitive to the number, but.
Just a little.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, what are you going to do? You know, I mean, it's, I get it from, you know, certain aspects, but I think Bill kind of said it best. It's not going to move the needle. He's not the player that he used to be. His speed is a problem. It was only one game against a really fast team, but that was sort of evident against Colorado, I thought, at times, where he was kind of behind the play. So, you know, we'll see. We'll see what that really gets them. To be honest, I think Anthony's fear of him potting like 8 goals in the next 19 games here, I think, isn't really realistic because, well, for two reasons. One, they still decide they're going to put Ristolainen as a net front guy on the power play. I know Simmons got like half of a power play at one point, but for the majority of the game, it was still Ristolainen. I think they had 2 power play chances, so I guess he was 1.5, and Simmons got half.
Wasn't that the main thing people speculated too? Like, oh, he's definitely going to replace Risto there, obviously. And
well, that's what I said to
Ralph's
people.
Ralph's like, not so fast, boy.
Right. Well, people said, well, he's going to replace, you know, Risto. And I don't know how back is he, though? Like, are you sure? Like, and we'll see. I mean, he really didn't against Colorado. So we'll see going forward. But, I mean, if he's not going to really play those power play minutes, I don't think he's going to give you much at 5-on-5 either, especially when, like, this team doesn't have a lot of forwards, and I think he kind of needs somebody to kind of create and set that up for him. And
yeah, he's not driving offense.
Right. So, you know, that's not really, well, I mean, we'll see. We'll see how that goes. But as long as I don't get my contract at the end of the season, then whatever, but I don't think we really need to worry about that.
Yeah, this one's tough for me because I was like, you know, as I was coming up through writing very, you know, in the early years, I loved Wayne Simmons so much. And I got to tell you, I know he's not great anymore, but when I saw the picture of him in the Sabres uniform after the trade went through, it was like the Photoshop picture, obviously, you know, from TSN or whatever. It geeked me up a little bit. I was like, oh my God, it's Wayne Simmons. So, but no, I get it. I'm taking a little bit of a more, I guess, positive approach. I mean, I like the guy, but moving on to Cahoon, you know, obviously you go into that, 'cause I'm way more excited about that one for just the future of the team, obviously.
Yeah, so Cahoon's interesting. You know, he's a 24-year-old, I guess I'll class him as a forward. He's primarily played wing. He has played center in the past, but, you know, we'll see where they're going to play him. Bottle said he wants to start him at wing, so that's where he's going to start, apparently. But, you know, he's an interesting player because he's a guy that, you know, he played with the big guys in Chicago, Taze and DeBrincat last year. And then he played with Malkin a little bit in Pittsburgh. So he kind of has that ability to play up in your lineup. That's one of the reasons why I was tweeting yesterday that I thought maybe it's a good idea that if you want to get Reinhardt off of that line, which this coach apparently knows like he's ever going to do, you could put Cahoon there and then move Reinhardt down with Skinner, and then you can kind of, you know, all of that fun stuff together. But, you know, he's not a flashy player. I think he can provide you some offense. The one thing that's interesting about him, and I was looking at him when I wrote about him, is he kind of has those nice shot contributions. So, you know, he's a good passer. He's good in transition with moving the puck. So that's kind of helpful, and that's maybe something that the coach should think about when putting his lines together. But yeah, I think his puck movement is something to keep an eye on because that's interesting. So, you know, we'll see. I mean, he's a player that, you know, is a cost-controlled asset, and, you know, we'll see kind of, you know, what they decide to do with him. He's a restricted free agent in the offseason, and, you know, maybe they kind of get something out of two players who one wanted to trade and one was going to be a free agent and walk at the end of the season anyway. So, you know, I guess good on Botterill for kind of pulling that one off, I guess you could say.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. I think basically you get a definitely higher ceiling and probably a much better version right now, or a decently better version right now of Evan Rodriguez, right? I mean, that's essentially what you got for a guy in Sheary who you were going to lose in 2 months. Hopefully they had no intention of resigning him had they not been able to trade him. But yeah, it's a good deal. You know, he's got potential. He could play up and down the lineup, like you said. It almost feels like they might at some point maybe try to use him how they should have used Sheary, if that makes any sense, right? Kind of like that guy who, I mean, if you look over the last few seasons between Pittsburgh and Chicago, you look at all his impacts. They're not too impactful, you know, either way. He's a little bit positive on the defense, a little negative offensively, but like you said, he's good in transition. So he's an interesting guy. For a team that needs fortified young middle six help, it's a good add. And I'm very happy with the price they paid for him. And, you know, hopefully he stays healthy.
Yeah. I mean, for me, it's, you know, another piece of the puzzle, hopefully. I'll be excited to see what he kind of can do in the lineup with these last 20 games. But I guess for me also, it's just funny how within 48 hours, not that it matters as much, but they pulled classic Sabres. And everyone was excited about Simmons in front of the power play. That didn't happen in the first game. And then everyone's like, oh, a center to play, finally. And within 12 hours, Botro's like, yeah, he's not played center. So, for me, that was kind of the funny part of throwing water on the cool things that just happened in classic Sabres organization fashion.
All right, so we kind of have a natural transition of topics here, but in a different way. This is something that's rarely happened in the history of Beyond the Blade, but I have some time in your podcasting. So if you didn't see it on Twitter, the first portion of the podcast you just heard there, we actually recorded on Thursday night, and the remainder of this podcast we're actually going to be recording on Friday night. So my two-month-old daughter decided to have all the plans for me on Thursday night, so we kind of finished. So we're going to finish the rest of the podcast here the next night. So this is why you kind of, in a way, it works out because we finished that topic at a perfect time, and then we're going to naturally transition here. So it works for us. So if our voices sound different, if we're in different types of moods, just remember we're doing two different nights here. And also, that kind of works because I guess some minor things might have happened in the last 24 hours that we'll kind of throw into this. So that kind of works. But the topic transition that I want to go to now, I think it's kind of a mold of a whole bunch of different things here. It's going to be the primary focus to me I want to talk about is the coach. And then kind of what ties into that is we have the general manager. We have the comment from Dave Pagnotta from the fourth period on Andrew Chelney. Is that how you say his last name?
Andrew Chelney. Yeah.
Chelney, his podcast, that he was saying that he, in a way, he thinks, believes, could be a change in general manager. So that kind of ties into this. And then there's the Skinner usage. There's the lineup itself. So it's kind of a lot that I think kind of ties into one thing here. But where I think I kind of want to start is something for me, like my personal philosophy, and you guys can kind of riff off this. I'll spit this out really quick, is, you know, I usually give new head coaches a year before I go in on them. In the way I'll separate it out is there's three levels or four levels of coaching. You're doing good or fine. Okay. Whatever. Either you're fine. You're good. There's the concerned. There's the, oh, I might have a problem. And then there's number four is hit the eject button super fast. So I think at this moment in time that I'm going to raise the concerned flag on Ralph Krueger. And the reason I'm doing that is, while I'll admit he's done some nice things, he's, the players in the room kind of like him and buy into what he's saying, and that's good. That has substance. That's relevant. That's important. You know, he's got them playing better defensively in his system. That's good. But there's a list going here. Now, every coach has their list of things or quirks or issues you might have with them, but this list is starting to get kind of long here for Krueger. There's the Rodriguez thing to start the season. There's Saboka in a top six role. There's Colin Miller sitting. There's Zach Bogosian playing. There's Ristolainen playing top pair minutes again. There's Jeff Skinner, whatever's going on there. There's a refusal to change anything with that top line. There's goaltending decisions, I guess, riding one goalie for extended stretches. There's general lineup things. Penalty kill has cost this team multiple points. It could be one of the primary reasons they're going to miss the playoffs. And I'm probably missing things, but it's not even through year one, and we got a long list going here. So, you know, part of me gives him the benefit of the doubt and kind of gives him a pass with the roster he has, but there's maybe not a lot he can do. But, you know, I don't know how you guys can tell me how you feel. I just feel like there's some things that I'm concerned about moving forward. Like, is his system going to change to a more offensive style when he gets better players next year? Hopefully gets better players. Or is he still going to focus on the defensive thing, like with Dahlin, trying to get him to play better defensively, and Mittelstadt and Skinner and all of that mantra he's had defensively, he said all season. So pretty much, like I said, I'm raising the concerned flag here.
I'm sure Anthony will have a lot more, so I'll just kind of go quickly here. In that, I think you kind of just answered your own question, no? Where, yeah, he has the roster he has, but ideally, even if you're trying to play a more defensive game at this point because that's the way you think you're going to win, and we talked about this like 2 weeks ago, I believe, even if that's what you're trying to do, you don't do that even with your guys like Skinner, Dahlin, Eichel. Right. You let them go. Because if that's what you're going to eventually do, why would you want them, you know, stunting their offensiveness when even so that doesn't make sense because they're a team that struggles to score as is. So why are you making your top offensive talent focus more on their defensive aspects of things when you can't score goals? So, I mean, for me, I think the concern button is right to be pushed at this point. If not even maybe a little more, it's just it's a guy who came in and we talked about how, you know, he came from that Southampton and he brought analytics and that was more kind of like analytics of playing time and more of that kind of thing instead of the on ice stuff. And I mean, you guys have said it for the entire season now. He's not maximizing the roles that these guys need to play to be better. Did you even mention Bogosian in your list of concerns?
I think so, yeah.
He was getting.
Yep.
But yeah, it's just, the penalty kill too. I mean, you got to step in and change some things. The power play, just special teams. I mean, how long ago does it feel now that they were the best power play team in the league?
Yeah.
And they've fallen off a cliff. And since then, we've put Ristolainen in front, which Anthony correctly praised as something different, but it's literally all they've done.
Right.
So, I mean, for me, it's time to hit the panic button, the concern button, and kind of who knows what's going to happen here. If Botterill goes, does he stay? Does he go? If Botterill stays, I'm sure he does too. So I have a lot of question marks, as is usual, coming into a Buffalo Sabres offseason.
Yeah, I think Chad kind of alluded to it at the end of what he was saying there. Neutering Rasmus Dahlin is perhaps his most egregious error, besides the penalty kill, which is obviously terrible, on pace to perhaps end up being the worst in Sabres history. It's a double-edged sword, right, where I understand kind of the overall strategy, right, and credit where it's due, he's made the Sabres a very, very good defensive team. Granted, they have much more defensive talent now, but he's done a good job in that respect, right? And it's translated to points in the standings. He's very fortunate that Jack Eichel decided to Hulk out this year and be essentially a Hart Trophy candidate.
Yeah.
And without that, I think this is just the same as last year, though. I mean, you look at Phil Housley, the one thing he did right was let Rasmus Dahlin be Rasmus Dahlin. And maybe that's because Phil Housley was maybe the Rasmus Dahlin of his era. So to speak, that style, right?
Yeah.
So that might be it, but he's done a very poor job of optimizing, like Bill said, and he's got, you know, this weird obsession with not putting Skinner out there in overtime, right, and not trying him with the extra attacker. It's just a lot of weird things that you wonder why, and why does Sam Reinhart need to be with Jack Eichel? And we've talked about that for what, three coaches now? It's bananas. And I remember a quote we talked about kind of, or maybe not a quote, a rumor we talked about when they were searching for a new coach, and that rumor came out where they asked specifically about what they would do with Rasmus Ristolainen.
Yeah.
And I just can't fathom Ralph Krueger went into that meeting and said, well, the exact same thing we've been doing, because that's essentially what he's done. Yeah. It was his
minutes are slightly down, but he's still playing the most.
Yeah, but it was his main talking point. Like, well, we definitely take him off the power play or put him in front of the net. And they were just like sold. Like, this is great. This is so much different. So it's just, and one of the guys, you know, you and I interact with on Twitter, Zach, he calls him sports science Phil Housley, and that's kind of pretty right. And Bill, just, you know, to his point, it's that sports science versus analytics, and those are very different things, obviously. And yeah, Krueger does a little different logic in that respect, and that's fine. That's cool. I'm welcome to that. But if you're going to try to tell me he's an analytics guy, I will point at 36 different ways to prove that wrong. So it's disappointing. The results are better. You know, I got to give credit for that. And he's had bad goaltending, no doubt about it. And like you said, if you fix the penalty kill, we might be talking about a playoff team, and right, we can ignore some of the other flaws, right? But I think when the team is unsuccessful for the 9th straight season, the small stuff gets magnified, right? And so, I don't love him at all. I don't hate him either. He's just not. He's done nothing impressive, and he's also done nothing to make me be like, he's the freaking worst. So, yeah. But I'm with you. It's uninspiring at this point.
Yeah, I mean, my biggest concern, I think, of all the things we've listed is, I think it's the biggest concern moving forward, because he's not going anywhere, is what's the deal with Skinner? Mm-hmm. You know, what's going on there? He's playing 12, 13 minutes a night. He's going to play with Frolik and Lazar. Not Frolik. He's going to play with Lazar and Vesey tonight. Like, what is, you know, I think that's what it is, or I don't know.
I think it's Simmons and Lazar.
Simmons and Lazar, that's who it is. I knew I was missing some one of the new guys. So like, what is that gonna do? You know, that's not like those two guys don't play his style. So it's like, I don't know. I don't, you know, they're not playing on the power play.
He's in the doghouse, right?
Right. But this team, it's the coach, it's the general manager, it's just the organization.
That's always the problem.
In general, they just, They get something and they don't know how to use it properly. you put him on the first line last year. We scored 40 goals, and then you sign him to a lot of money, and then he plays with nobody the entire season. Like, I don't know.
Hey, did you see how well Rasmus Dahlin joined the rush last year? Yeah, let's completely hack that out. What would be even better is to have him dumping in at center ice every time.
Yeah. It's not just him, it's all of it. It's Miller,
right? Oh,
Montour. They all do it. And I'm very clearly their coach. Now, Dahlin has changed that. I'm curious if he decided, screw this, I'm just going to go back to what I'm doing, or he was told to go do that.
Somehow, I doubt it.
Yeah.
Right. So, I don't know. The Skinner thing, I think, is the thing that's the most concerning for me. If there's an issue there, then the general manager has to step in at that point then. Like, hey, like, I don't know, dude. Like, I'm paying this guy $9 million. Figure out what to do. Like,
got some bad news for you. You're hoping the guy who hasn't done anything for 2 years.
Right. Step is actually going to step up and do something. Exactly. Yeah. And then that gets back to the problem of him being the general manager. Like,
but he'll be quick to tell you Cahoon's not playing center 12 hours after the trade.
Not even 12 hours. Like,
yeah,
2 hours
three
after the trade.
Yeah, three.
Yeah. So, it's a where's his connection? You know what I mean? Like, this general manager has done numerous times how Reiner can carry his own line. He's never done it on his team, but he's said it numerous times. Colin Miller, second and fifth round pick, scratched. Michael Frolik, fourth round pick, scratched. Jimmy Vesey, third round pick, scratched. It's just, I don't know. It seems like there's some disconnect there, or I don't know what it is. I mean, part of it is, you know, Frolik and VC, when you ask, deserved it. Even Colin Miller at times deserved it, but I don't know. It's so frustrating how this team just continues to not be able to utilize players properly. And Bill, I mean, how many years in a row we said this in this podcast is they just don't put players in position to succeed. And it doesn't matter who the general manager is, it doesn't matter who the coach is. It's just like an organizational thing that always happens.
Yep, 4 or 5. But, I mean, yeah, it's – like I said, for me, it's kind of where's the hope. I feel like every time you get something that might be, you know, interesting to watch or something to look forward to, or something goes well for a little bit, and then they do the thing to make sure to just throw that wet towel over it and and take it away. It's just like trying to find, you know, did they probably overpay a little? Yeah, but we knew that. And keeping Skinner, we all thought was the right thing. You're a team that struggles to score, so you're going to keep one of the best 5-on-5 scorers in the league. Makes sense. And then here we are months later, and he's basically being pretty much, I mean, it feels like bench for
the put in the doghouse, right? I mean,
yeah, it's
I mean, it's crazy. Against Colorado, he got one. After they went down a goal, he got one shift. One.
Even though it's a smaller thing, too, it's like the overtime thing drives me bananas.
Yeah.
He just never sees overtime, which is insane.
I mean, he had all those. I mean, some of the handful of those, or most of those, maybe even were power play overtime goals last year, but still, he had overtime goals a ton last year.
I don't know.
It's what are you going to do? So. Yeah, I mean, I just wanted to bring that up. You know, I've been sheltering concerns about Kruger, and I kind of wanted to get those out there. And I feel like it kind of ties in with the whole bottle thing that kind of came out today. And then the Skinner thing is a relevant thing that we've talked about.
Does it change your opinion at all?
Does what?
The Pignota thing.
Change my opinion on
if he's here or not. I still don't think it changes anything for me at the moment.
No, and it doesn't change things for me because it's you know, I've told both of you, it's kind of. At least from what I've heard on my end, is he's far from. I mean, I said this on this podcast before that I think he's far from safe. Does that mean he's going to get fired? No. Just you know, when Anthony said like he doesn't buy into, he's going to go, and I've said numerous times, I don't know that I think he's not safe, and then that's kind of. I think it's kind of what Dave was saying too, pretty much. You know, is he's not safe by any means, and then there can be a change, and I'm kind of thinking the same. I'm not promising he's going anywhere, but I think it's definitely in the realm of possibilities.
Whether you like to believe it or not, there's still a month and a half left. So
yeah, right. We'll see how they finish.
They'll make it count. Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, they'll make it matter in the decision is what I should say.
Right. It shouldn't, but they will. Yes.
Correct.
I get what you're saying. Yep.
Yes, sir.
Anything you want to add, Anthony, before we flip to the questions and rumors part of the podcast here?
I guess just on the Botterill point, right? Where one of the things Pagnotta said, which I found a little interesting, was they wanted to see how the trade deadline went. And then use that to factor into their decision. So does that mean they're waiting to see how much Wayne Simmons and Dominic Kuhn contribute over 19 or what, 20 games? You know what I mean? To make a decision on Jason Botterill? Because if so, that's insane.
Yes.
I mean, okay, if it's yes, then that's bananas. And I said it too, and I wrote this in an article last month. If the Pegulas are even 10% unsure about Jason Botterill for next year, they have to make a change. They have to because the time to do that is right this second or right after the season, right? Because you cannot botch this offseason. You can't. It'll be decades before you get a clean slate opportunity like this for a new executive to come in and immediately put their stamp on a roster where there's no built-in excuse. There's no built-in where the last guy screwed this up so bad. No, there's nothing. It's blank, and pretty much every player you're retaining is a good player, right? Or who's still on your books, so to speak, besides Rasmus Ristolainen, is a very good player. Kyle Laposa's overpaid, but he's useful, right? You don't have just that dirge of crap you have to flush out. So, man, if they're unsure, they have to strike while this opportunity is there. And the funny thing is people have mentioned it on Twitter too, and I agree. The fear in that is, okay, they replace Jason Botterill, like, welcome your new GM, Peter Chiarelli. Like, oh my God. Ray Shiro, because he's from Pittsburgh and Harry likes that.
Yeah, I don't want to get down that road right now.
neither do I, right? But in saying all that, I really still, and I know I sound like a stubborn ass right now, but I really still just have a hard time believing he's not going to be the GM next year.
I don't think you're wrong. I mean, there's definitely valid reason to buy into that. So I'm not going to say you're wrong or anything. That's for sure.
Right.
All right. So I know the listeners are very eager to hear what went down to the trade deadline. So we should, we'll take our break here. I'll be back with you in 30 seconds. And then we will answer some fan questions, which include some of the rumor stuff that went down on Monday. So you're listening to Beyond the Blade here on the SB Nation podcast network, and we'll be back with you shortly. All All right, welcome back to Beyond the Blade. So we won't delay much time here. We'll get to the fun parts of the podcast for some who are eagerly awaiting the information that I will be able to share with you guys. So, Mr. Shockey, I think you said we had like 10 to 12 questions. So let's hammer these bad boys out here.
Yes, sir. So, Michael DeSantis, I'm going to start with this one because I think we all agree. First off, awesome work today by breaking the deadline deal. Awesome to see hard work paying off. My question would be surrounding the deal that fell through for Josh Anderson. And if known, what kind of package was involved? Is this a player you'd advocate for?
Yeah, I mean, I think all of us before the deadline, we talked about Anderson as a good idea. You know, a big guy who can play with some speed and some physicality and, you know, has some scoring touch to him and just having a down year. So on the Anderson thing, I think it, you know, it's something that, you know, were discussions before, and then I think it kind of picked up late in the day. I think there was too many moving parts kind of get done by three. And then clearly, you know, I don't know for sure, but I think probably some medicals got in the way here. You know, we have a guy who now has to get surgery, and, you know, that could have held things up too. So when you're working with a half hour deadline, you know, that definitely hampers things when you have medical issues. And I think there were some moving parts in that, you know, with some money that's going both ways, plus the package too. So I think it's definitely something that can be revisited. You know, LeBron kind of had a thing, I believe, the other day, how talks with Columbus kind of aren't going well between Anderson and the team. So, you know, he'll probably be moved in the summer. You heard him say that there's been a lot of groundwork laid for a Risto trade in the offseason. My understanding is Ristolainen would have been part of that package going back to Columbus. But again, there is moving parts in there. I think the Sabres might have had to take money back, like someone like Riley Nash. There was other pieces, I think, that were going the other way to Columbus too. So I just think it kind of, at the end of the day, it's just too much to get done. The medicals probably played into that too. And, you know, we'll see if this gets revisited in the summer.
So adding on to that, Buffalo Iris, Chad, curious to hear any details you can share about trade deadline day. How did the Pittsburgh deal go down? How about the failed deals with Columbus and Florida?
So Columbus, we talked about. I mean, how long have I been telling you guys about Pittsburgh and Sherry? Like what, like a month now? So, you know, that's kind of been on the horizon here. Yeah, that's kind of been working, and I feel like that was kind of his landing spot all along. But it's interesting kind of how that broke down. The player in that deal I actually confirmed first was Rodriguez going to Pittsburgh, and then I knew Rodriguez was going, and then I found out another player was traded too, but I didn't know if it was part of that deal or a different deal. And then eventually I found out it was Sherry, and then, you know, Cahoon coming back. So it was, you know, Sherry was kind of, I always felt labeled to go to Pittsburgh, you know, eventually. You know, even when the Marlowe trade kind of happened, I thought, I don't know, that's kind of weird, but then you look at their cap, they still had enough space to fit Sherry in if they wanted to, and, you know, they made it work. So, yeah, it was interesting how that broke out that, you know, I found out about Rodriguez first and then the Sherry thing came after that. But, what was the other one? Oh, Florida. Trocheck, they made a fair offer. Again, Ristolainen would have been part of that package, along with other pieces. There was a lot of talk on Ristolainen. I mentioned it a few times here. There was a lot of teams interested. I think Detroit was part of that. Vegas, as we mentioned before, there was an in on some conversations there too. But honestly, the Sabres made what I thought was a fair offer. They thought they made a fair offer. They thought they had a good chance, and Talon just went with Carolina. I think getting Eric Haula back kind of played into that, that they wanted a center to replace Trocheck. And, you know, Carolina's also not in their division too. So, you know, I don't think Bottle's done a good job, a lot of things, but that one I'm kind of not going to hang on him because I think he tried. I feel like he made a competitive offer and just didn't get picked. And that's kind of the way she goes sometimes. So what are you going to do?
All righty. James, Freeman said that there was real offers for Risto. Any clues you can give that were turned down? I know you just gave a couple.
Yeah.
And what record gets Bots and?
Well, we'll skip the Risto part because I think I answered that one already. So Anthony's probably sitting over there twiddling his thumb, so we'll let him answer the bottle record question.
I think I floated it out via DM, you know, with you guys today. I think it's a 90-point threshold, maybe. And I'm wildly speculating, by the way. There is no rhyme or reason to that. But I think if they get to 90 points and you know, these additions kind of get them just short, so to speak, right? And they are respectable here to finish. I don't see them getting rid of him. I just don't, you know. What would that represent? Something like a 14-point improvement? And I think Pegula will be sold on that as yeah, you know, a thing and move, yeah, in the right direction, so to speak. So let's go with that. Just arbitrary number, I guess.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's, you know, mm-hmm, fair enough.
I think you need another kind of collapse, and I don't necessarily know what this team is. Right. I mean, the schedule. I was gonna say the schedule is lined up that way, but yeah, if they get Allmark back and he's playing back to his old way, I think they'll squeak some games out.
Speaking of March record, though, did you see that graphic they posted during the last game where there's something insane in March? Like, they've won 30% of their games over the last 7 years or something.
No,
they're just a bit. Yeah, I think it was either last year or the year before, they were like 2-12-1. Yeah, they haven't had a winning record in March in the last like 7 or 8 years or something crazy.
I mean, I guess lucky for most fans, they've tuned out by that point anyways. P. Johnson, with the trade deadline passed and a lot of our 2C targets were moved, do you see any of those players' values going down as a result of their trades? If so, who?
Players going down? I still don't understand the question.
Yeah, I don't either.
Yeah, I don't either.
Do you see any of those players' values going down? I think what he's getting
at is like 2C rentals, maybe? Like, would their value go down as a result of being traded? I think that's kind of
how it was. The only traded was Howla, right?
So, right. That's what I'm thinking. Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. So if you listen to the podcast and you have that question, recraft that question and we'll answer it next week.
Yes, sir. Yeah. G-Man, based off of the trade deadline acquisition deletions, how confident are you that bots can make a significant change to the roster this spring, make us legitimate contenders next year, given the large money he has available?
I mean, I think they're easy answers, and I don't think any of us on this podcast are confident at all.
No.
I think we've said that numerous
times. Can he do it? Yes. Will he do it? That's another question.
Exactly.
All righty. And then we'll just sneak this one in because it's a multi-question, but it has some trade talk in it. John Brown, a couple questions. What is the process of breaking the Cahoon deal like? You touched on that. What even is Brandon Montour, and do you think Tampa would be interested in Risto because they value defensemen with snarl?
I don't think Tampa's right now involved in that.
They were in the past, right?
They were in the past. Like, that was when Eisenman was there. So I don't know if that's maybe changed or because Detroit is part of it. They were part of the team in the summer and they were kind of part of it now.
Anthony C would have been nice.
I don't know. We'll see if Tampa Bay turns back around, but they weren't at least during the deadline. You know, I mean, they got Bogosian, so they that seems to work out well for them. you know, so that was that. But yeah, it's in Montour. I don't know. I feel like Montour is a conversation we're going to save for an entire podcast because that dude is just confused. I think we touched on it last week, but that's a topic I think I want to save for like an entire podcast when there are like 14 points out. There's nothing to talk about because that dude is just confusing as hell.
Sounds good to me because I really want to like him.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
I think everybody does. Yeah.
Anthony, you've been a little quiet in this section, so let's go to this one. Kobe, every hockey podcast I listen to these days goes out of their way to praise the Rangers for, quote, doing their rebuild the right way, end quote. But at the same stage, the Sabres were the butt of every joke. Does this annoy you guys as much as it annoys me? Does it annoy you, Anthony?
No. I mean, no. Because,
yeah, they have a better record than the Sabres right now.
Yeah, they have a better record, and they don't have an 8-year playoff losing streak.
Right.
Playoff,
I mean, they just sent a letter out to their fans 2 years ago. They're going to be terrible, and they're better than the Sabres already.
Yeah, it's they did their suffering thing in like a quarter of the lead time.
Around. In like a quarter of a season, that was it.
So, no, it does not annoy me nearly as much.
I mean, they got a favorable lottery situation with getting Kako, but he really hasn't been that good this year.
Yeah, but they also went and got Artemi Panarin and did some nice things, and they got a really impressive young goalie. And
they brought Kreider back. They have two impressive young goalies.
Oh, yeah, right. Oh, would you look at that? Like, they did it, you know. So
I mean, they got Adam Fox. They got Trouba.
And they've got a very real chance at playoffs. I mean, they do.
They're playing. Yeah. I mean, they just lost Kreider today, so we'll see. But
yeah,
they're in there. Panarin's have an MVP season.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this one's funny to Finn now. Hilbert, if you guys were had to be optimistic for 5 minutes, what would it sound like?
I think we're optimistic at the beginning of the podcast, right? So that's kind yes. of what it sounded like. I mean, it's funny because we recorded that part before Toronto won. So they're 10 points out. I tweeted it earlier. Like the Sabres got to win like 30 of the next 30. We got to get 30 of the next 38 points to catch Toronto's on pace for 96 points. Like,
how about that stat find today, by the way? So someone asked, have they done that at all during this
that was
like,
good.
Playoff
you
losing
that out.
Streak?
That was good.
Yeah,
that was
they good. They did actually. So leading up to the 10-game streak, not afterwards, but leading up to it yeah. and including it, they collected 30 of 36, which when you get 20 of 20, like there's a pretty good chance you probably got 30 of 38. But yeah.
That was a good point, Anthony. Good job.
They got 30 of 36 leading up to it. So it can be done. But, you know, and I know that question was facetious, and he's a really, you know, great supporter of our stuff. But I would like to address, you know, the people who are serious when they say, can you guys just be positive? It's like, what? How? Like, right. based on? It's not like it's a good team and we're just beating the ever-loving crap out of all their mistakes. This is a really bad team, and it's been that way for quite some time.
I feel like it's a misconception.
Yeah,
I mean, I chuckle a little bit.
Ken and I would love to be optimistic the last 5 years.
We've tried to be optimistic the last 5 years. This year changed. I couldn't do it this year.
And look at Die by the Blades articles, man. Like, we look at good stuff, too. It's not just like, and this sucks also. It's like, no, you know, this player's playing really well. Sorry that your coach isn't dressing him, but he's playing well, you know. You know. So I always find that really funny when they're just like, try optimism. I'm like, I'd love to.
What is this optimism you speak of?
Yeah, exactly.
Speaking of the coach, since you had a pretty nice dig right there, Michael wants to know, after 62 games, is Ralph Kruger a good coach, master motivator? Absolutely. His line combos, historically bad PK, and confusing ice time usage has become concerning. Thoughts?
Yeah, I think we kind of covered
that.
It's funny.
It over again.
Yeah, actually, that question pretty much hit.
All of the topics.
Like, literally all of it.
That was prophetic.
That person, like, hung up on the podcast like 20 minutes ago. He's like, I got my answer. I'm out.
I got my answer and I hated it. Goodbye.
You guys try optimism?
Got optimism?
All right, we got two questions on centers. Hep wants to know, number two center targets for the offseason, praying they don't do the same thing with Casey. They did to Cousins. Shout out to Casey, by the way. I think he had, 10 points in 13 games or 13 points in 10 games?
Yep.
Selfish. And Maurice said, what centers could be possible targets in the summer?
All I got right now are Howla and Granlund.
Wait a minute. Oh, he's not a center. Never mind. I was going to say, what about our friend Alex Galchenyuk? But he's not a center. Not anymore.
No. It's all I got for now. I mean, honestly, again, that's a good topic, I think. You know, not to keep pushing off answers here, I think for a podcast, like I said, when they're 14 points out, we're trying to figure the answers. But the best I got right now with Trocheck going, Howlett and Granlund, and I guess I'd have to dig, try to think of other options because I don't really have it at this point.
No, I think it's a good idea because I think also as you get into the season or teams get bounced early that shouldn't have, more names are going to come up.
Absolutely, definitely.
So smart there. Last one, not hockey related. But could be a little fun. John Cozera, which summer concert are you most excited for? And what was the last physical copy of DVD Blu-ray you purchased? And do people still do this type of thing?
Oh, man. I don't know what I can't even remember the last one I purchased. So if you guys got one, go ahead. I have no idea.
I did on accident.
Go ahead, Bill.
So years ago, we signed up for this Disney Movie Club thing. And I've been meaning to cancel it now that we have Disney Plus. But I kind of forgot about it, and they send you a thing you have to decline every month. Didn't decline, so we have live action Lion King. The kid enjoyed it, so I guess that works. But
yeah, sure.
So there you go. My last purchase was
my last DVD purchase, which was Anthony not returning a red box freshman year of college. Was I Love You, Man. And my most exciting concert for the summer is definitely Bon Iver at Art Park. That looks awesome. I'm very excited for that one.
I'm going Rage Against the Machine. Rage Against the Machine or Run the Jewels in July. That's mine.
Nice.
All right, that's it, you said?
It's a wrap.
All right, so let's get into the spiel here and wrap this bad boy up. So make sure you're following all of us on Twitter, Anthony at ChandraSports, me at CMDiddyMinises, Bill at Bill Shockey, the podcast at BTB Hockey. Make sure you rate, share, iTunes, Google Play. I'll subscribe as well. iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and pretty much anywhere you can find a podcast. Make sure you check out all of the excellent Sabres content on Die by the Blade. And yeah, that's it. I appreciate all the kind words from everybody, the new followers from Breaking the Trade. That was very nice of you people to say those kind and nice things. Yeah, so I hope I fulfilled your rumor needs for now, and we'll kind of reconvene in the summer and see what we have going on. But
well, I'm just excited to get time off on every question segment from here.
Moving right, forward. Pretty
Chad,
much. Right?
Please tell me about a trade.
That's a good point. Good point. So, yeah, we'll try great. To fulfill.
Chad, what do you think of the top 10 in the draft?
Yeah, we're going to get there. I was going to say, we'll try to fulfill your hockey needs with some different type of content here over the next few months, because I feel like they're going to be out of this sucker soon. So
I have a question. What does Anthony do while Chad's answering questions? He watches planes get painted on Imgur.
He thinks of Joker jokes.
Those I enjoy.
Yes, those are fun. All right. So for Chad, Bill, and Anthony, we are out of here this week. We will talk to you next week. Enjoy the rest of the West Coast trip, and we'll see how things go when we reconvene next week.
Sabres After Dark, baby.
That's right. So thanks for listening. Enjoy the last Sabres After Dark of the season, and we'll talk to you next week. See ya.
See ya. We'll be right back.